Our first presenter is Nathan Rains. He is a second-year med student at Mount Sinai School of Medicine. He first started working with investigations into chronic kidney disease in Nicaragua in 2010 and helped to found Mount Sinai's research mission into the Nicaraguan CKD epidemic. And before, he was working for the National Children's Study in Queens, New York, investigating environmental determinants of children's health. And he got his BA from Dartmouth, and I'm very excited about this because that's my motherland he's going to be talking about. Very serious issue in Nicaragua. So thank you, Nate.
All right, thank you, Valeria, and thank you everyone for coming. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the epidemic of chronic kidney disease that is going on right now in Nicaragua. It's a topic that it's starting to get more press in the global media and the scientific world, but that we still think is something that's kind of underreported on. And so that's something that I'm hoping to change through this talk and through the talks of other collaborators that are being given in other conferences. So to start out with, I'd like to thank my collaborators, Perry Sheffield, who's sitting in the audience right here taking pictures, and Philip Landergan, both of whom are at Mount Sinai with me, Marvin Kuros and Aurora Aragon, both of whom are at CISTA, the Center for Investigation into Work, Health, and the Environment at the National Autonomous University of Nicaragua in León, and Patrick Parsons, who's at the New York State Department of Health Wadsworth Trace Elements Lab. And what I'm going to be talking about today is our investigations into heavy metals as a potential risk factor, or heavy metal exposure as a potential risk factor for the development of CKD among the groups affected in Nicaragua. So I have no relationships to disclose. So a little bit of background on chronic kidney disease. It's a rising global health concern. And chronic kidney disease is defined by estimated glomerular filtration rate, which is basically a measure of how well your kidney is filtering your blood. I've got the five stages up there for anyone who's interested in looking at that. And the risk factors for CKD, both in the U.S. and on a global scale, are primarily aging, diabetes, hypertension, and the use of nephrotoxic medications. And I think medications did not stay on there. What we're seeing in Nicaragua is a different pattern of disease. So studies conducted in Central America, and including those conducted by our working group, have shown that rather than appearing among diabetics, people with hypertension, people who use non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, which are the most common nephrotoxic medication associated with chronic kidney disease, we instead see CKD among young male agricultural workers, particularly people who work in sugarcane. We don't know the etiology of the disease at this point, but our studies have been kind of basically working through the most common risk factors for the disease and eliminating them one by one in the hopes that ultimately we'll be able to find the cause of the disease so that we can begin to implement preventative measures against this epidemic. We've also seen a similar pattern of disease described in Sri Lanka, India, and Egypt. And we're working with those investigators to define this form of chronic kidney disease as a new syndrome, which right now we're calling CKD of unknown etiology, or CKDU. So the epidemic in Nicaragua has largely been described in the Northwest Pacific Coast. The district that we work in, Chichigalpa, is a predominantly agricultural district where sugarcane farming is the number one economic activity by far. It has the highest CKD-related mortality rate in the country at 13 per 10,000 inhabitants annually. And a study that we're actually in the process of doing right now, the preliminary findings are that 35% of all deaths and 45% of deaths among males in this district were due to CKD over the past 10 years. The two communities that this study is conducted in, Laisla and Candelaria, which are both in the Chichigalpa district, showed in a prevalence study that we conducted in 2008 that the prevalence of CKD was 65% among males. As a basis for comparison, in the U.S., the prevalence of CKD is about 13% among males aged 20 to 60, which is the demographic group that we were working with. So CKD is also associated with exposure to heavy metals, and this is one of the more common causes of CKD after you get past the initial nephrotoxic medications, diabetes, and hypertension. Cadmium, lead, mercury, arsenic, and uranium exposure has all been associated with CKD. And Sri Lankan investigators have recently demonstrated that there's a possible link in their country between arsenic exposure and chronic kidney disease. So this study uses a case control design to evaluate exposure to various heavy metals as potential risk factors for chronic kidney disease in Nicaragua. Our cases were defined as males with an EGFR of less than 60, and our controls were defined as males with an EGFR of greater than 100. Females and individuals under 20 or over 60 were excluded from the analyses. This study used blood and urine samples that were collected during the 2008 prevalence study in La Isla and Candelaria that I mentioned earlier. This study used random household sampling and collected information on a number of covariates as well, including blood pressure, height, weight, medical history, occupational factors, and drug, tobacco, and alcohol use, among other things. We measured serum creatinine using the Jaffe reaction, and EGFR was calculated using the MDRD equation. So after we collected these samples, we banked them at negative 40, and they remained banked for about 3 years while we were looking for funds to conduct metal analyses on these samples. So ultimately, we were able to do that this past summer. The metals analysis was done by the New York State Department of Health Wadsworth Trace Metals Lab using inductively coupled plasma mass spectrometry. We analyzed blood samples for cadmium, mercury, and lead, and urine samples for arsenic, cadmium, uranium, as well as a suite of other metals that are less well linked to chronic kidney disease, but that we wanted to explore as etiological factors anyway. So in total, we analyzed 59 blood and 77 urine samples from 77 participants. And this graph shows the findings for total urine arsenic, which is representative of the findings that we found for all of the metals we investigated in this study. So what you see here is the median, interquartile ranges, and 95th percentile for concentrations in micrograms per liter of total arsenic between cases and controls. The red line is the 35 microgram per liter biological exposure index cutoff established by CDC, and the blue line is the 95th percentile in the U.S. population from NHANES. So what you can see here, first of all, is that the distribution of urine concentrations of arsenic between cases and controls is very similar. And moreover, the vast majority of people in both cases and controls had levels that were under the BEI limit, which is kind of indicative that they're not really getting high enough levels of exposure to produce significant biological effects based on the knowledge that we have at this point. Univariate analysis kind of confirmed what you saw in the graph, which is that there's not much difference between cases and controls. Using independent sample t-tests with concentrations log transformed to normalize the data, we looked at exposure to every metal. Listed here are the five metals that were of primary interest to us, so cadmium, arsenic, lead, mercury, and uranium. There's no statistically significant difference in concentrations between cases and controls for any of these metals or any of the other metals that we analyzed. So basically, our finding that markers of heavy metal exposure didn't differ significantly between people with signs of CKDU and people with signs of normal kidney function, coupled with our findings that heavy metal bioconcentrations were generally below the NIH suggested limits, CDC suggested limits, suggests that heavy metals are probably an unlikely factor as a major etiological factor driving CKDU in La Isla and Candelaria. This study did have some limitations. One concern is that GFR differences between cases and controls may have actually differentially affected heavy metal concentrations in blood and urine. The concern here is that it may be that because many of these metals are filtered by the kidneys, reduced filtration of these metals may have contributed to the higher levels that we saw, or contributed to higher levels in cases as opposed to controls had we seen that finding. However, since we didn't find that, we think that this is probably not a huge issue with the design. Second, samples were not collected and stored under ideal conditions. We use kind of standard analytical vacutainers as opposed to ones specifically designed for heavy metals testing. We don't think that that could have introduced any sort of systematic bias, but it's something that I wanted to mention. So, having kind of suggested that heavy metals are not driving this epidemic, we're left with these still present questions of what is producing CKDU among these populations. So we have ongoing investigations right now into other risk factors, particularly agrochemical exposure and other factors in the working environment, diet and nutrition, particularly sucrose consumption, dehydration, and then the interaction between these factors. So it's thought that dehydration in particular might be coupled either with agrochemical exposure, increasing concentrations of the potentially nephrotoxic agrochemicals in the kidneys, or it might be coupled with sucrose consumption. One of the members of our working group is actually working with a new hypothesis about how sucrose metabolism under dehydrative conditions introduces really high levels of oxygen radicals in the kidneys, which may potentially be damaging them. So we're excited to kind of see what our results are from these ongoing studies and hope that we might be able to actually be able to target interventions within these communities. We're also helping to support the first international conference on CKDU in Costa Rica this coming November. And we're working to design intervention and treatment programs. Although, again, our efforts there are limited by the fact that we don't exactly know what's causing the disease, so it's hard to target preventative measures at this point. So I'd like to thank our funders, the Mount Sinai School of Medicine Global Health Innovation Fund. This project also would not have been possible without the folks at the lab at CISTA, Jason Glazer, and the rest of the volunteers at La Isla Foundation, which is the nonprofit organization that supports a lot of our research, is a key link between researchers and the community and helps to disseminate the findings that we have among the broader media. Matthew Hoda and Christina Wyatt at the nephrology department of Mount Sinai, nurses, medical students, and field workers who are part of the original field collection team, Pam Kruger at the New York State Department of Health Labs, and most importantly, the communities of La Isla and Candelaria in Nicaragua. So thank you very much for listening. If you're interested in learning more or supporting the efforts of La Isla Foundation, you can check them out at laislafoundation.org. And I don't have my contact information up here, but anyone who's interested in finding out more can feel free to talk to me after this session. Thank you.
Here we have a couple minutes for questions. Nate, don't run away. Garrett.
So anecdotally, we think that it has been going on here longer than, it's actually been established in the medical literature. We think that it's been kind of slowly on the rise since the early 1980s. And some speculations that we have in terms of what might be causing that are changes in diet, changes in the fertilizers and chemicals used in the field, or even, interactions with changing climate and changing working conditions under those climates.
Another question back here.
No, it wasn't. I actually just kind of chose that slide because I thought it was a pretty poignant poignant representation of these workers. This disease seems to be very much a issue of workers knowing that going to work in the sugarcane fields is harmful to them, but not really having a choice. So it's not actually a characteristic of the disease.
Sanjita.
You just looked at some studies in India.
So they also haven't found a cause. I mentioned a study that had come out recently from this working group that suggested that arsenic exposure might be linked to the disease. It's still very much a preliminary finding. So the rate is, again, elevated. These two communities that we looked at with the 65% prevalence among men is higher than has been reported in most other areas of the world. But they do see substantially elevated rates in Sri Lanka.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.